A warm welcome to you one and all here on Tuesday, the 26th of July, 2022. You're listening to Good News Community Radio Station, 93.6 FM. And you listen also to the program called At Ease, that make it possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. Today it is the 46th program that we broadcast for the South African Military Christian Fellowship, and I trust that wherever you've been tuned in today, that you are at ease and that you are ready and prepared to listen to this program tonight. Maybe at your side it is not evening, maybe it is in the midday, whatever the case may be. May God bless you, all our armed forces, our veterans, and our regular GNCR listeners. Friends, we have a lineup for you. We have our devotion, music by the South African Navy Band. We have our testimony, our two questions from the captain. And we've got the first part of the interview that we promised to broadcast today. And then we will sign out. Before we do that, I will give some details so that you can dot some stuff down, maybe some pointers that you want to pray through. So I will advise you to get a pen and a piece of paper ready so that we can begin. So we're going to listen now to Chaplain Ben Smith as he's going to read for us in this devotion out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 9 to verse 13. God bless you.
Our scripture reading for today is taken from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 to 13. As an athlete, the emphasis is always on progression, with a view to improve from day to day. In the process, one discover many things. You discover many different approaches, and you discover better diets, just to name a few. One usually comes to a better understanding and gain knowledge which directly impact upon your ability to constantly improve. As an athlete, one will never be able to claim that you've arrived and that you know it all. The same thing happens in the spiritual race. One needs to progress daily, and as we run with the word, we gain knowledge and understanding. Initially, as a beginner, one think as a beginner, and you run as a beginner. But this changes as we gain and develop insight. Some things need to be put behind us and kept behind us. To other things we look forward. And there will come a time when we will truly understand and fully know. Even as love is partially revealed, one can never claim to fully understand the essence of love, as we will never be able to understand and fully grasp the fullness of God. However, in the here and now, we run this race in the attitude of love, since love is what we do, and in the company of love, since God is love. So let us run in the most excellent way, for the honor and glory of His name, in the presence of the greatest, which is love. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that we can run with love, and that love can manifest in our lives. And thank you that we can know love because you have revealed love to us. Come and bless us today, Lord, in an extraordinary way, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to say thank you to the chaplain Ben Smith for that devotion. You know what struck me? You know, I preach many times out of that same passage, and especially together with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, to run the race, that God has put a tailor-made track in front of each and every one of us. Unique. In your circumstances, your personality, your temperament, the whole package is there in front of you. The problem comes when we try to run in someone else's racetrack, to be someone else, someone that I'm not. And then there's problems, yeah, there's trouble, there's this conflict because I am in the wrong track. And then supposed to run with love, I can't because I try to be something that I'm not. And then where I have to demonstrate that love, supposedly in my track, I'm actually derailed. And that's where the irritations and frustrations come, because I'm not in my track. So I don't know your track. I can't run it for you. Your friend can't run it for you. Each one have to run that track, tailor-made by God. Your track might be or may have more obstacles, potholes, you know, hurdles, whatsoever, that I've got, or maybe mine has more than you. The problem is when we look at other people and how they run, and we try to tell them how to run, and then we forgot how to run our own track. And then you find yourself way back, way behind. And then you wonder, hey, what happened here? It's because we look at someone else's track. The rules might not be the same in my track that is on your track. So don't try to change the rules in your track. There's one thing common, that we all will run this race with love. Did you hear that? God spent a whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, just to tell us that. So I want to say thank you to our beloved chaplain for this devotion of telling us how to run. Otherwise, we will never prosper and grow to maturity. Thank you for that. We're going to listen now, and I think this part of music from the South African Navy Band, it will be fit so wonderfully in the day thou cravest. Talk about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen now to this first piece of music by the South African Navy Band. The day thou cravest. I think one of the greatest desire that God has in his heart, if I can call it the ultimate desire, the craving, can I call it like that? That God has a craving. Imagine that. For what? That is a question I ask myself one day when I prepare a message and say, the greatest ultimate desire or craving that God has is to be with His creation. To be with you. To be with me. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't matter where we come from. Doesn't matter our cultural differences and our maybe theological differences. And God has placed boundaries where He appoint time and place for us to seek Him. That is that craving. And the day, imagine from Genesis chapter 3:15, the mother promises of all promises, that He said, one day I'm going to send my son. You know, when He said to Moses, build an ark so that I can be among my people, there was that longing. Looking forward to the day, how long did God wait until Jesus came and died on that cross? So that He can now, that craving of His can be satisfied, be fulfilled in those lives who accept Him and receive Him. I want you to think about it. The day thou cravest. Thank you for the South African Navy Band. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, here at 93.6 FM, Good News Community Radio Station, based in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And this is the program called At Ease. I trust for those who are just tuned in, a warm welcome to you. And maybe for you who already listen this whole week, we have a promo that we play every now and then concerning something going to happen on the 2nd of August. I wonder if you know what's going to happen there on the 2nd of August. Then this At Ease program, something happened with them. It is 1 year, still a baby, still an infant, but 1 year old. So I want you to, for our listeners out there, our veterans, wherever you're stationed, and you listen regularly to the At Ease program, I'm going to give out details of the SAMCF and our year at GNCRs. We're going to give the telephone number and the email address and the website. And I want you to really to take up your computer, take up your phone and send us an email. Because we want to put a wonderful program together for the 2nd of August for our birthday celebration. Please, think of something. Think of how it impacts your life, especially this program, and how God has ministered to you and what does it mean to you. We will really love to put that on air, to send it to us, and I will give you the details of the SAMCF. Okay, we're going to listen now to a testimony. The testimony of a man, and the testimony's name is how a life has been changed, called Finding True North for Life Journey. And Graham Wilson is going to narrate it for us. Listen to this. God bless you.
The following is a short but valuable and valid comment by Mark Callaghan to alert us to the influences that would distract us from God's truth. It's taken from the military edition of the Challenge newspaper, Finding True North. Finding True North for Life's Journey. Ah, the wonders of modern GPS, giving guidance by that still, small, electronically generated voice, hassle-free navigation to any part of the globe. Unless, of course, you've been directed to a road with a bridge washed away or yet to be built, as happened to a friend in Illinois, America. The global positioning system makes use of the geographical lines of latitude and longitude to provide coordinates for location and destination. These lines have been accurately plotted for about 350 years and enabled the era of world exploration, circumnavigation, and colonization. For latitudes, we have two fixed points, the North and South Poles. However, confusion arises because the compass points to magnetic north in the Arctic Sea when the geographic or geodetic north is some 500 kilometers away in Canada. Longitudes, the east-west coordinates, are complicated by Earth's rotation and the lack of a natural starting point. An arbitrary spot, the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, UK, was chosen as longitude 0 degrees. The prime meridian everywhere else is measured from that Greenwich line of longitude. And so we have a way to fix our coordinates and plot a course with confidence. Today I hear the commonly used term moral compass, a euphemism for conscience. Compass is only useful if it can detect and give accurate reading of true north. Any strong magnet placed close to a compass will cause the needle to point to the magnet. North no longer exists a sufficient pull on the needle. The compass may well point, but its usefulness is lost if it cannot indicate a fixed point from which to plot the journeys of life. Many today have been influenced by cultural magnets placed too close to their compass. True north is skewed, with the multitude of spiritual and cultural magnets vying for north. It's often a case of not being able to see the wood for the trees. The compass needle can spin wildly. Since 1611, the printed Bible has become the most widely read book in the West. It has provided true north for generations who have chosen it, and a fixed point to guide our nation makers. As Bible literacy becomes less common, the moral compass becomes less reliable, if for no other reason that it is highly individualistic. There are no absolutes, no givens, no polar stars by which to fix our course. Life is multiple choice. The Apostle James describes God the Father as one who does not change like shifting shadows. My own journey of faith began when I entrusted my destiny to Jesus Christ, described in the letter to Hebrew Christians as the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is a security in getting to know the unchangeable God. We have our ups and downs, but God remains faithful, even when we are not, because it is His nature. It's comforting to know that God can be trusted.
It's interesting to know that God can be trusted. Thank you, Graham Wilson, for reading to us that wonderful testimony, Finding True North. As I listen to it once again, you know, he talk about the conscience as a compass. And you know what is so awesome, and only God is awesome? That the Holy Spirit used the compass of God's Word to show us true north. But there's a problem, maybe. I don't know if you think about that. And that is, maybe it all depends how I view God's compass. How I believe that. You know that the Bible, that compass that this man talked about, Graham, and he read that message, the testimony. Do I really believe the Bible? Can I really trust God? Because he said it is so wonderful that one can trust God. Can God be trusted? Can he lie? What is your view of God? Maybe God has disappointed so many out there that I can't trust him. Well, it all depends how you view the compass. If you doubt the compass, then you doubt God. If you don't believe your compass, if you do not believe your instrument, if it's like an airplane with all the, you know, the instruments on your panel, and if you don't trust those instruments, you're going to crash with that airplane because you don't trust your instruments right here in front of you, the altitude and latitude and all those things. I am not a pilot, but I can imagine if I do not trust my instruments in front of me, why do I fly then this thing? Why am I in it already then? And that's my question. If the Bible is the true north, show us the direction of true north, why don't we listen to it then? Is the Bible truly sufficient for me to show me the direction? Because we're going to listen to Captain Peter's two questions, thought-provoking questions about what happens or where you're going to spend your eternity. And if I don't have a clear-cut answer there, you know, and I do not trust my instruments and or my compass, and like Graham said, you know, a compass, you put a magnet to that, it just spun all around, or it is just been the pull of that magnet, take it off true north. Listen to this. And I don't want to preach to you. If you doubt the sufficiency of the compass, you doubt the sufficiency of Christ. Think about that for a while. Think about that. We're going to listen now to Captain Peter Lawrence as he's going to share with us this two questions, and he's going to present for us the answers as well with that challenge of a question. What if? May God bless you.
Good evening, GNCR listeners, and particularly our At Ease regulars. It is my joy and privilege to now give you the answers to the two vital questions that have demanded an answer these past 5 months or so. The first question was, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that should you die, you would go to heaven? The answer must be a resounding yes. You must have a spiritual birth certificate when you came to know for certain that should you die, you would go to heaven. Not maybe, not sure or no, but yes, you need to live life in victory. It's important then to know why you know for certain that you would go to heaven. The second question, suppose you were to die and appear before Almighty God, and He were to ask you, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Your answer must be that you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. Believe through reading the scriptures and trust. The gospel leads us to this commitment, which is simply the following. Eternal life is a free gift. It is not earned or deserved. We then look at man. Man is a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And man cannot save himself. There's nothing we can do. We need a Savior. We then look at God and what He is. He's merciful. He doesn't want to punish us. He's love. But God is also just and must punish the sinner. He is holy and we cannot approach Him as sinners. So what then is the answer? The answer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, the infinite God and man. And then what He did, He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, then rose again from the dead, and now gives us eternal life. So we can see then what the Bible prophesies, in fact, in the book of Isaiah, where it tells us what the Lord Jesus would do for us. And it reads, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So that is prophesying to that the Lord Jesus would take our sin upon himself, our iniquity. This gift of eternal life is received through faith, and certainly more than just head knowledge, intellectually believing, and more just temporarily having faith when it suits us or when we need help. And what it is trusting then in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. And this then, this wonderful gift, is the motor for living a godly life in gratitude for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Believing the gospel, we then need to repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. You can pray alone or ask a pastor or Christian friend to pray with you, trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. We now have assurance in the scripture which says, and Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life, says the Lord Jesus. And so like a tree, we need to grow. And there are five means of growth that will help you grow as a Christian. One, reading the Bible, perhaps starting with the book of John. Two, prayer. It's a wonderful personal relationship we can have with our Heavenly Father and praying to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit. Worship. Worship Him in praise, in song. Worship Him in thanks for what He has done for you. Worship Him as we look at this beautiful creation and the beauty all around us. Worship. And then four, fellowship. We need to fellowship with other Christians. We all know about the coal that falls from the fire and will soon die and grow cold, but needs to be there with the other coals. So have fellowship. Find a church where you can have fellowship and grow. And lastly, then witness. Tell others what you have done, that you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please contact GNCR should they need any further help or guidance regarding eternal life and where you will spend eternity. I thank you for this opportunity to share the precious gospel with you. God bless and keep you.
Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence, for those two questions, and as well the presentation of the answers and possible answers that is out there. I stand one day in a particular armed force where I was part of. Twice in my life I experience this kind of experience where a bullet, a 9mm go off. And the bullet, that round, plunges right in front of my foot. It's times like that when your life is just like a movie flash through your mind. The second time was when me and my wife and my kids walk, where we stay in the Western Cape doing mission work, and we heard a gunshot, and the bullet fall behind us. You think about eternity. I hope these two questions make us think to give an answer to God. Friends, I'm Chris Meyer, your host here at the program called At Ease, here at 93.6 FM, Good News Community Radio Station, based in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. We're going to listen now to our first part of the interview of our CEO, Dr. Gregory the Nation, with Captain Peter Lawrence and our beloved Pastor Max Mupondi, that was accompany Captain Peter Lawrence. So let's listen to them now.
Attention! Hi folks, what a blessing it is for us today to have the Reverend Max Mupondi and Captain Peter Lawrence of the South African Military Christian Fellowship with us in the studios of GNCR. Welcome to you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Thank you, Greg.
Reverend Max, tell us about the Christian organization you belong to in the UK. And what is your particular role in that organization?
I work for Military Ministries International, MMI, which is one of the three principal support organizations of the AMCF. And in that organization, I am their regional team leader for Africa East and South, about 27 countries.
And what does it do?
Our role is to support military Christians practice their faith as they serve their countries, that they may also serve the Lord Jesus Christ as the salt and light wherever they are. So our role is to stand with them and support them in that endeavor.
Well, having been in the Navy myself, I understand fully the need that the, in our case, the sailors, in your case, the soldiers, would have. So I think it's a vital ministry. And I suppose you will tell us a bit more about actual experiences that you had. Captain Lawrence, Peter Lawrence, we were mates from the Navy days. Tell us about your role and your position in the South African Military Christian Fellowship in South Africa.
Thank you, Greg. I'm the National Executive Director of the South African Military Christian Fellowship, and my role then would be to promote the Military Christian Fellowship right through our country to all services, including the soldier in uniform and then the civilians that also work in the military, and then also the retired military men and women. And so as National Director, I'm actually supporting the President, who actually lives here in KwaZulu-Natal, retired Colonel Blessing Mabuyazi, who was in the military police. And it's my privilege to actually support him and almost carry out his orders and directions. But yeah, promoting the MCF and, of course, facilitating the work of the Military Christian Fellowship in the South African National Defence Force.
Would you be touching base with the chaplains, different chaplains in the force?
That's very important to us. As a South African Military Christian Fellowship, we do support them as part of our goals, our objectives, to support the chaplain. And so we would be in regular contact. And we have many very good chaplains who support us and help us in different ways.
I suppose in many ways there are greater challenges today and maybe even more opportunities than it was previously.
Yeah. No, certainly, I think every year, every generation, things change. And I think when I was a young officer, the olds and bolds would say to me, oh, no, what's the Navy coming to? And I think it's just part of life, really. But, yeah, we have lots of opportunity to shine for the Lord Jesus and be a witness. And then, yeah, pray for the chaplains and support them. And sometimes they've got many other responsibilities, funerals to attend. They are obviously the officer commanding's spiritual guide and help. And so we almost left to be able to help when required. When he can't be there, he might, if he has trust in us, ask us to take the prayer or do the reading at a parade, etc.
Yeah. You know, in our days, we had the advantage of the chaplain general being from a Christian persuasion. But now it's a new ball game because you have a pluralistic society, and any day now you could have somebody from another faith who's a chaplain general, and it takes some negotiating, isn't it?
It's very true what you say, and a very interesting example was the chaplain at Salisbury Island a few years back was actually a Hindu chaplain. And certainly the chaplain does see to the spiritual needs of all soldiers, whatever faith they belong to or religious group. When the Hindu chaplain heard about the South African Military Christians Fellowship, he was so thankful. He said, well, my goodness, now I know who can take care of the Christians. And amazing. And we trust that will be so should things change.
Now, if it hasn't come out already, perhaps you can share with us what the goals of this organization
is. Yes, I've got them written down here in front of me, and they tie in very nicely with our scripture, Hebrews 10:23-25, which talks about encouraging one another in love and good works, and spurring one another on. And the word spur is like a cowboy, you know, so putting your spur into the horse. And not that we would do that in any way, but spurring one another on to live the Christian life. And more so as we see the day approaching, and a little bit of how those verses go. And I love it because it always ties in very nicely with our objectives that we have. Well, one is to help build up the individual member to spiritual maturity in his or her walk with God, family, and associates, to stimulate and encourage SAMCF members to meet together regularly for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship, to stimulate and encourage each SAMCF member to give witness to his or her faith in word and deed, and to give active support to the church of his or her own denomination. So MCF certainly isn't a church as such at a military base. You would still be encouraged to attend your own church of choice, to be an instrument through which others in the SANDF are led to commit their lives to Christ and to actively support the ministry of the SANDF chaplains. Those are our objectives, main objectives that we have.
Oh, tremendous. It's a great work. Reverend Mpondi, could you tell us about some of your Christian experiences with NMI?
To start with, when I moved from my home country, Zimbabwe, to the United Kingdom, the first few years I was so disappointed that, Lord, is this the place really where the missionaries who came to Southern Africa came from? But this was before I had anything to do with the military. But when I joined Military Ministries International, I had exposure with the chaplains, I had exposure with the military, and I really found out that the British military was really Christianized, and that the British military were really the ones carrying the country before God. I was inspired to see generals, to see people of high rank humble themselves and become like privates. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, something that really inspired me, and this is something that I had not seen even in the church. I had also, seen divisions in the church, but when I came to Military Ministries, I saw Christians from various denominational backgrounds coming together and only lifting the name of Jesus without even talking of their denominational differences. So I learned in the military ministry that it was only Christ that mattered, not that my denomination mattered, because some of the denominations would teach that theirs was the best, and others they would look down upon. But with the military ministry, everybody is important. There is no one who is looked down upon. Everybody has something to contribute. Then I learned that the church, you can say, I come to join the military ministry. And I really became different. And a lot of my friends in the, Christian churches, they ask, where is your ministry? Why did you leave the ministry? I say, I know, because they don't understand the military ministry. I said, I haven't left the military, but I am where I believe God called me. That's why I find purpose now, having spent 14 years. Those 14 years were just to prepare me for what God has called me. He called me specifically for the military ministries. Even when I left my country, Zimbabwe, he said, you have to leave on good terms, because in the future, I will send you back to the forces. I didn't understand until I joined MMI. And the first trip that I was supposed to undertake to Uganda, my passport, Zimbabwean passport, had expired. So I had to go through Zimbabwe to renew my passport before I could fly to another country. And when I went there, I visited Army headquarters. And they had a revival going on. And the chief chaplain asked me to speak. And when as I speak, the Holy Spirit confirmed that this was what the Lord said 14 years ago, that he would send you back to your own country, to the military. So I've been really inspired and found my purpose since I joined Military Ministries International.
That's wonderful to hear that. I can just see it's such a strategic role that you are playing. You know, God calls special people for special places and for special opportunities. That's so encouraging to hear that. Thank you for sharing that. Captain Lawrence, how does the SAMCF operate within the SANDF?
Yes, initially we thought about the MCF. In fact, it was on a strike raft where the seed was sown. And then it took about 10 years and we launched in 1993 with the permission and blessing of the Chaplain General. A chaplain helped us together write the constitution, and we were always seen as a private organization, although we were permanent force serving regulars in the Defense Force, and so we get no support from the Defense Force, or the National Defense Force. We operate on our own, but are allowed obviously to operate within the Defense Force with the permission of the chaplain at the unit or base where we are. Even on a ship, if you deployed, you would have a chaplain on board the ship as well, as you must have done somewhere in your career.
Oh, yes.
And if we're going to have a Bible study or a prayer meeting, we would always keep the chaplain informed. These are obviously requirements of the chaplaincy, and certainly the AMCF teaches that as well, to have good relations with one another. And the theme of the AMCF is all one in Christ Jesus. So the SAMCF then is separate from the chaplaincy, obviously, with the blessing of the Chaplain General, and we keep him informed of any major events or happenings, as we had to keep him informed of us on our present trip, what we are doing and having his blessing.
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about a role within the SANDF is that it's dynamic. You know, the defense force is never a dull day. It's very seldom just routine. There's so many, I can recall from my days, there's so many things that crop up. You arrive there and you think it's going to be like another day, but so much plays out before you. And I remember there were certain incidents where there was, you know, conflict situations. And those were times that the sailors really thought about eternity, and they really thought about what happens if their life is gone. Mm. You know, and they would come. I had sailors come to me, and they said that if they had to die, they wouldn't know if they're ready to go to heaven. And what a privilege it was to lead them to Christ. And we trust that God puts chaplains there, and through your encouragement, kindles a fire that will really make them, aware of the opportunities, alert to the opportunities. Coming back to you, Reverend Mpondi, tell us, how do you see the future, the role that you are playing, and what is your vision? What do you hope to see happening with this organization?
I see MMI bringing revival, or the work of MMI, Military Ministries International, being at the forefront of the revival that God is bringing to the nations. Because as we support the military chaplains, as we support the AMCF, as they begin to work with the churches, their influence going through the churches, you know, soldiers, they really understand the mission. So they are bringing something special to the church. Sometimes the church can look elsewhere else, prosperity, gospel, there's everything, I mean, that is distracting the church.
Well, that was part one of the interview of Dr. Gregory Denation, our CEO here at Juvenile Mission, with Captain Peter Lawrence. Folks, we are very close to sign off. Next Tuesday, the Lord's willing, the Tuesday after that, we will listen to the second part of this wonderful interview, where you can know more and learn more and hear more about this road trip of and the interview that our CEO have with Captain Peter. Friends, I want to sign off and say to you, thank you for listening to us. I want to give you our details of the SAMCF and hear from our radio station. The South African Military Christian Fellowship cell number is 062-028-7546. Their email address is samcf3@gmail.com. Their website is www.samcf.co.za. Our GNCR, Good News Community Radio Station's website is www.gncr.org.za. And our email address of At Ease is atease@gncr.org.za. And I trust that you enjoy our program. And once again, I want you really, if you can send us an email for our the 2nd of August, our birthday month, to celebrate our 1-year-old anniversary, send it to the samcf@gmail.com or phone them. Again, the number that I want to give you is 062-028-7546, and you will speak to Captain Peter Lawrence himself, and then you can give your input or send your email, and then we take it from there. We're going to play out now with our last song, and that is also by the Navy Band, called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And we want to say, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to all our content providers. Thank you for your faithfulness until we meet each other again, the Lord's willing, next Tuesday evening, same time, same place. Be at ease.